This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's become so obvious the president of the United States of America, to his credit, is speaking openly about it.
He understood the nature of this poison, that it's actually a social cancer, it's a political cancer that eats away at everything that you've built.
And even that is utterly corrupt and wasteful, run absolutely horribly.
They think that they're going to do it right. Or maybe they even don't. Maybe they think that people deserve it.
Communism is here, and it has been here for quite some time. Now, when I say here, I don't want you to think it's just the United States of America. It's Western civilization. Christian-based Western civilization has been under assault by the godless demonic communists since that disgusting religion propped up really in the early 19th century. And they have always been attacking, always trying to do the things that communists do, infiltrate, destroy, hurt people. This is what communists do. Now, here's the good news before we get to, you know, some of the reasons they do what they do, some examples on what they do, what they do. The good news is, you know, I've been doing this show quite a while. I'm right for quite a while, as you know. I've been talking about communism from the very beginning. At the very beginning, when I would come on here and I talk to you about communist this and communist that, and this is communism, I would tell you, I would get text messages from friends who do what I do. I would get emails from people, from you. Oh, that's too far. Oh, come on, Jesse, they're just liberals. Jesse, we all want the same thing. I would get tons of this stuff, tons of, this is so over the top. I don't get those anymore. Now, it's become so obvious the president of the United States of America, to his credit, is speaking openly about it.
Because it's not socialism, it's really communism. They use the word social democrat because it sounds so nice, but it's really communism you're talking about. I think it's the biggest threat to our nation there is, maybe since our founding. That includes World War I, World War II, September 11th. It includes the Pearl Harbor attack. I think this is the biggest threat to our nation. People will smile when I say that, but the smart people are going to say, you know, he's probably right.
And he's right. And more than anything, I'm glad the president of the United States of America is now willing to go out there and say it. No more outcries. If it's too far, it's not true. It's obviously true. Now we have to understand the things they do and why they do them. I've used this example before. I used it in my book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, but I'll use it again. The communist is trying to destroy. That is his goal. But he also understands he has to be a little bit coy about that. If he wants to burn down your home, and he does, he's not going to show up and knock on your door with a can full of gas and a handful of matches and say, hey, I'm here to torch the place, because you're going to say no. Probably call the cops. Maybe stick a gun in his face. So instead, he has to find a way in. Hey, I'm offering a free carpet cleaning. Would you mind if I check out your living room? This is how the communist looks at the critical institutions in the United States of America. He identifies the institutions that have a lot of sway on the population, and he infiltrates them. He gets inside, he gets himself promoted, and then he will take that institution that is supposed to do good for the country, and he will turn it into something that promotes evil. The best recent example I can give you is when the House of Representatives called before them the head of the Smithsonian History Museum in Washington, D.C. Now, keep in mind, this is the Smithsonian. You should walk into the Smithsonian with your children And you should see a never-ending celebration of America, of what is right, of our founding, the Constitution, everybody from George Washington to Andrew Jackson, you name it. It should be America, America, America. It should be a wonderful accounting of our history because it's our history museum. But communists don't want it to do that. It was Brandon Gill with the director.
Would you say that the goal of history is to be objective?
We strive to be objective and nonpartisan and not based on any ideology.
So it's one of the goals. Doesn't that seem a little bit concerning? It certainly does to me, because as part of this white supremacy document that your organization has promoted, objectivity is a core in defining aspect of white supremacy culture. Do you think that it's the goal of the Smithsonian Institution to promote white supremacy culture? Are you promoting a white supremacy culture at the Smithsonian?
Am I promoting a white?
Ma'am, is this a difficult question?
No, sir, I'm just thinking about the mass action toolkit. We didn't develop it, but back to your question, no, we're not promoting any ideology.
Does it concern you that your goal is objectivity, one of your goals is objectivity, and your mass action toolkit references objectivity as a defining characteristic of white supremacy culture?
It's not our toolkit.
It is your toolkit. You've been promoting it for quite some time.
We did not come up with a toolkit, sir.
But you've been promoting it.
It is used as a reference, I believe, probably in 2019, 2020.
Yes, under your leadership, it has been used as a reference. Is Mickey Mouse racist?
Mickey Mouse is not racist.
It's not racist. According to the Smithsonian Institution, one of your exhibits referenced Mickey Mouse as representing, quote, vestiges of longstanding traditions of blackface minstrelsy. Would you describe that as racist?
No, the historical trajectory of the origins of Mickey Mouse tie directly
So Mickey Mouse is rooted in racism. Is that your testimony?
No, sir, it's rooted in minstrelsy.
Minstrelsy, and you don't think the blackface minstrelsy is racist?
It had certain obvious racial overtones that have been well documented.
You think that that's problematic, that Mickey Mouse also has those racial overtones?
It's not for me to determine what's problematic. It's determined to me what's accurate.
Is that right?
Yes,
is it important to be polite?
Excuse me, sir?
Is it important to be polite?
Yes, sir.
It's also interesting because the same mass action toolkit that your organization has been promoting references politeness as a defining characteristic of white supremacy culture. Ma'am, are you a white supremacist?
No, sir.
You're not. Can you help me square why your organization says that being polite is part of being a white supremacist?
I'm not exactly familiar with that passage of the mass action toolkit, which is not.
I can show you the passage right here.
Pardon me?
I said I just read you the passage from it.
I want you to understand something. Something that I think you get, we're going to continue to speak about this. It doesn't matter where you allow the communist to infiltrate. He will view that entity, whatever it is, as a weapon for the revolution, to be used for the revolution. It could be big, important things like the Smithsonian. You could allow him to run the local oil change shop, public library, FBI, it doesn't matter what it is. He considers himself to be an infiltrator and a revolutionary. Remember at the beginning of that clip, I know it was a long clip, remember at the beginning of it, that all that stuff about objectivity and that you shouldn't be objective? That was the most revealing part of that entire clip. The communist doesn't want anything to be objective because everything should be used to promote and push the revolution forward. And these revolutionaries have burrowed themselves in all parts of our society. Now, we have a huge show for you. Ann Coulter, Jack Posobiec, Josh Phillip. We're going to lay all this stuff out, all right? Hang on. how you feel. Isn't that kind of a hippie way to talk? How do you feel? But let me ask you legitimately, at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, are you done? Are you out of gas? Ready for a nap? Running for another cup of coffee? You know, it's not supposed to be that way. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm older. No. I have 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds who send me emails and say, Jesse, I don't even need naps anymore. Now, what is this miracle solution? Natural herbal supplements, I'm telling you, from CHOP. The best, the hardcore anti-communists at CHOP have put in the work and created the finest natural herbal supplements in the world. Men, women, young, old, go start. You are 60 to 90 days away of needing a walk instead of a nap. Chuck.com/JesseTV.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One communist on the faculty of one university is one communist too many. One communist among the American advisors at Yalta was one communist too many. And even if there were only one communist in the State Department, even if there were only one communist in the State Department, that would still be one communist too many.
My heart be still. That was Joseph McCarthy, you know, the one your dirtball history teacher warned you about. Joining me now, Jack Posobiec, who you obviously know, author of a wonderful book about communists, Unhumans, highly, highly recommended. Hey, Jack, that's weird because I went to public school and I distinctly remember my teacher's warning about McCarthyism.
Man, I have now have set, by the way, that Joseph McCarthy speech, just that soundbite, is now my new ringtone for when I wake up. That's my new alarm. That's one communist too many. And I just bolt right out of bed. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready, Uncle Joe. I'm ready. We got to go. We got work to do. And he just nails it. It cuts away. Think about that. That's 1952. He could give that speech today. It cuts through 70 years now of BS that you were taught in school, that you were taught in movies over and over again, reinforced. And suddenly you listen to him and you're like, this makes complete sense to me. Everything he's saying makes complete sense. And then you go through the list. You're like, okay, so he's saying that the communists are infiltrating what? The State Department? Yeah. The intelligence services? Yeah. And then what's next? Hollywood. And we were told that this guy was crazy for saying the communists were taking over all the institutions. And what was the other thing when he said? Oh, that's right. One communist professor on one campus. Yeah, that sounds really crazy, doesn't it? Or maybe they're just terrified because people like him and Richard Nixon, by the way, who served on HUAC, who was the one that exposed Alger Hiss at Yalta, who was the Soviet advisor at Yalta. I could go off on this for years. This is the reason that Stalin comes out of World War II with a communist empire that stretches from Berlin to Beijing, by the way, that we never seem to get any real accountability for. It was 100% clear. And that's why people like McCarthy and Nixon as well, I love the Nixon-Maxing trend that are going on, are completely vilified in all of the propaganda.
Jack, I love the speech for a variety of reasons you just laid out. And I like the simplicity of it. One is one too many. That's not just a great line in the speech. If you get one in there, the cancer will grow. And we've seen, I mean, he was warning about one too many in 1952. Now they completely occupy these institutions from the State Department to Hollywood to anything else. If you allow one in your public library, in your FBI, in your NFL, in your Hollywood movie studio, one will become many if you allow them in.
Because he understood the nature of this poison, that it's actually a social cancer, it's a political cancer that eats away at everything that you've built. And keep in mind, this is someone who served in World War II, someone who understood the threat, someone had gone abroad and fought, of course, the Nazis overseas, but also saw the communist threat as well and understood that something went wrong at Yalta. And if you understand that, and if you take that as your viewpoint for the rest of the 20th century, suddenly it all starts to make sense. Now, a lot of people put this together just by reading primary source documents. A lot of people put this together just by going back and reading many of the books that have been written about that. But still other people, you can just feel it. You can just feel it by looking around. What the heck is going on in Hollywood and all of these institutions? Clearly, they're run by lunatics running the asylum, and they tell you that you're the one who's crazy just for using common sense. This is what they do every single time. And old Uncle Joe, he knew it.
Jack, obviously, you've been discussing communists and communism for quite some time. Credit to you for that. But on the encouraging front, I'm seeing a lot more mainstream GOP elected officials calling this for what it is. Now, you can say, well, they're too late. Well, better late than never. It seems like the wake up is happening, maybe slower than you would prefer, or I would prefer, but it is happening.
No, it is. And I go and full credit to the president for his speech at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd. I think that's when the pivot was really made. When he's standing there with those incredible sculptures of our founding fathers and Teddy Roosevelt, Lincoln behind him, saying that our revolution was one of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Communism stands for death, evil, and destruction. It is a murderous, godless ideology that believes in inhuman visions. Now, he didn't say unhumans, but he did say inhuman visions, which is pretty close. And more to the point, it's true. It's correct. That is what we're up against. And then Zora Mondami goes and gives a speech on July 4th talking about how much he hates the country and wants to destroy it from the inside out. He's completely clear about what he's doing. The only thing that remains, I think, the only piece that we really need is the response from the federal government at this point. We need that federal national security response, smashing these organizations, disrupting their cash flows, and arresting and stringing up anybody who is involved with the violence on this, anyone who's involved with planning these things. And look, the State Department just put out this huge report. They're saying, hey, Communist Cuba has been actively funding a lot of these groups. Great. Awesome. Where are the deportations? Where are the prosecutions? That's what we need next. That's the next step.
Jack, when it comes to violence, because you brought up how murderous they are, this is something I try to talk to people about all the time. It's not that they're okay with it. It's not that they're okay with violence. They believe it is necessary. They are trying to promote it. They are trying to get as much violence out there as possible because they're trying to burn everything down, and you can't do that peacefully. People on the right don't fully understand yet. They love violence. They talk about it all the time. They think about it all the time.
They talk about it all the time. They think about it all the time. Luigi Maggioni has fanboys and fangirls lined up outside the courtroom whenever he goes and speaks and has a hearing. And Mondami goes and kind of like gives a little wink, gives a little say like, oh, I don't support this. Wink, wink. We know what he's doing. Bill Burr gets up and says it and faces no social repercussions for it as well. Over in the UK, by the way, they just had a case where Anne Widdecombe, a 78-year-old woman, had a guy who we're now hearing had clippings of anti-Nigel Farage and anti-reform postings, the communist writings all over his house. He went into her home, and we're told that he bashed her over the head 21 times with a hammer. This is a 78-year-old lady who lives at home, and she was eating lunch. She was eating a sandwich. And that is as up close and personal as it gets. And unfortunately, if people do not take this seriously, the violence is going to increase. The violence is going to get were. So we just had CPAC UK, and we had to have maximum security for that. And I'm glad that they certainly did have that. But people need to understand, this isn't just the UK. It's not just around the United States. It's not just targeting Trump. They're Charlie Kirk's in a box. All right. So people need to wake up. This is as serious as it gets.
Jack, is the Trump administration, are they taking, it seems like they are, the necessary steps to go after the funding and organizing sources of all this? I mean, yeah, you want to throw the street animals in a cage, and they're doing that like those Antifa guys in Texas, but you have to tear apart the networks that fund these people and organize these people. It seems like we're just starting to move that way.
It seems like we are. And in fact, the way I liken to it is this, and I talk to people who I served with in the intelligence community when we went after ISIS and kind of spoke with them about, you know, sort of the strategy that had put it together. And it was really simple. They said, we didn't look at this as a law enforcement or even just counterterrorism. We looked at it as whole of government, every single piece of everything that we have, whether it's Treasury on the financing side. And oh, wait, maybe Treasury just passes some information to one of our partners overseas. And whoop, suddenly somebody goes away because they get brought up on charges in some other country. Oh my gosh, boom, there's a key node that's gone. That is completely disrupted. Now, it's not going to make headlines in the United States, but you know what? It disrupts the network and it degrades the network. You have to keep doing things like that and smashing away those key nodes, or these networks will continue and the violence will continue as well. And as far as anybody, you know, who's found posting about these things or joking about these things, you know, we absolutely need, when you look at the anti-ICE stuff, for example, we absolutely need federal law enforcement to be going undercover into these signal chats, into these groups. You know, it seems like Nick Shirley and Cam Higby and James O'Keefe can figure out how to do it. I want to see the good guys in there and loading up prosecutions and loading up straight up arrests of people, mass arrests of anyone who's participating in these anti-government activities.
Jack, appreciate you, my man. Stay safe out there.
God bless you
too. All right. The great Ann Coulter. I love when she joins us. She joins us next. I love companies that hire Americans. I'm big on that. I'm big on that. But here's the thing. I don't want to ask people to make sacrifices in order to patronize a company that hires Americans, because times are tough. Wallets are tight right now. That's where Pure Talk comes in. You see the big wireless companies, they're charging you way too much. Way too much. Pure Talk, fraction of the cost of the big guys. No contract. You don't have a contract. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. And maybe the best part of all this is when you go to puretalk.com/JesseTV, you will get to speak to an American who speaks English. That's what happens when a Vietnam veteran leads your company. puretalk.com/JesseTV.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You told J.D. Vance you're open, your vote is up for grabs.
Yes, my vote is in play, because it can't be Trump running. Mm-hmm. So I'm not living in communist America. I mean, I know the talking point is that, well, it's not communism, it's socialism. Okay, I've read the quotes from the DSA platform, from their own mouths. Don't tell me I'm not seeing what I am seeing. And DSA, again, they say things like, you know, takeover of key industries, government. That's communism. You know, there is a definition.
By the way, Trump's doing that, too.
Of course. Yes.
And to a degree that we haven't seen any other president, Democrat or Republican do.
That's crazy, too.
He's got a piece of intel. And
right.
A piece of the AI company.
He treats everything like it's a real estate deal.
I don't know what part of that little clip I found most interesting. Either the Bill Maher pretending like he might vote for J.D. Vance in 2028, which everyone knows that's not true. He's going to vote for the Democrat. Or John Carl, of course, trying to jump on that grenade for him. Well, Trump's doing it. Joining me now, Ann Coulter. You can read all her stuff at anncoulter.substack.com. And I just enjoyed every single bit of that. Just a couple liars doing their thing.
Well, in defense of my friend Bill Maher, it's not out of the question that he would vote for J.D. Vance. The Democrats have gone completely insane. He's absolutely right what he says about the DSA. They want, I mean, it's crazy. Read their platform. They want everything to be free. College education, open borders, forgive all debt, housing free, groceries free, take over every industry. It's like a four-year-old designed a retarded four-year-old designed a government program. And I will remind you, in 1996, Bill Maher announced on his show he was voting for Bob Dole because it was his last chance to vote for a war hero. Maher, I think, has never been as lefty as many think he is. He's sort of there are a few non-insane liberals, and he's one of them. I totally agree with you. It's hilarious how Carl says, oh, Trump's doing it. What on earth is he talking about? I mean, okay, Trump is probably the most corrupt president we've ever had. I don't care if we get the policies I voted for. But yeah, his family's making a lot of money. I guess TikTok and CBS, you could say, he has moved in and taken control of by making sure it would end up in the hands of friends. But other than that, he's not taking over, I don't know, oil companies, electricity. I don't know what Carl's talking about.
And it's the era of, you know, dreaming of a smaller government, less government. Is that just kind of over? Have we lost that kind of country now? And now going forward, it's just going to be warring for who takes over what and who gets a piece of what pie? I know that's a little bit of a dark question, but I know you don't mind. It seems like that era's gone.
I kind of agree with you. I mean, I hope not. I think there are still mm-hmm. some smart people in the Republican Party. That's where we expect rational government to come from. We haven't heard much about this recently, but before I complain about Republicans, military contractors are some of the biggest thieves in the world. It's unbelievable what money gets wasted by the military. In fact, there are studies by the Inspector General. The Pentagon, I think, is the only agency that has not been able to be audited for, you know, like 10 years running because, I don't know, we don't keep the figures. I'm zeroing in on the military and the Pentagon in particular because that's something you need the federal government to do. You can't have a private enterprise running an army. So we're all agreed we need the Pentagon. We need a military. I don't think we need the Iran war, but put that aside. And even that is utterly corrupt and wasteful, run absolutely horribly. Why would people look at the things government does, every single thing of which has gone up in price by, you know, 1,000% in the last 10 years, and everything private enterprise does, and everything has gone down in price, cost, and gotten better that private enterprise does, and still politicians just, they have a yearning, they got a yen to keep being able to go to voters and say, look what I gave you this free stuff. And I'm sorry, but there are very few Republicans who don't agree with that. Thomas Massie was one of them, but when he was taken out for opposing foreign aid, some of which goes to Israel, And most of the time, I just listen to these Republicans proposing their own. They think it's populist, and this is going to be a winning issue, and who cares as long as we can win. I mentioned my column this week. It's a small point, but all these natalists with their child care tax subsidies and tax credits, and oh, if you have a child, we'll give you this and we'll give you that. When did Republicans get on this bandwagon? You know, Thomas Sowell said affordable housing is a house you can afford. The number of children you should have is the number of children you can afford. And if you can't afford to buy a crib, I think maybe you ought to reconsider that next child.
And speaking of Iran, I have this just dark future in my head, and I can't find a way out of what I'm about to say. It seems like now that we've made the decision to go, look, we're there now. It seems like we're going to be there. I really have little doubt that we're still going to be there in the midterms, and the prices will still keep going up. And now Trump is stuck there, and what we're going to have between now and November is a never-ending string of press conferences talking about how justified it was and how much the American people love it before we get our teeth kicked in November. Am I wrong?
I don't disagree with you. I would say only take issue with a small part of that, though. The result is the same, and that is once we're there, we have to stay there. No, we could stop this right now. We could stop it yesterday. The problem is, much like for about a decade, the open borders crew, the Americans who want their cheap labor, and oh my gosh, are they still out there? They had the run of the Republican Party. Now, people who want permanent war have the run of the Republican Party. J.D. Vance stepped forward and tried to put an end to this utterly pointless killing field war that Trump promised he would not start, that he ran on not starting any more pointless wars. And oh my gosh, have you seen the hate for J.D. Vance online? I mean, it's just an explosion. And in that Rogan interview, I didn't know about this, but I looked up the Time Magazine article, and Time Magazine has busted Brad Parscale for accepting multiple millions of dollars to create this army of people tweeting to keep the war going, keep more and more bombs, never ever pull out of Iran. Anyone who criticizes it, Thomas Massey, J.D. Vance, he's a Nazi. I mean, you see it in your feed, you see it online. I don't think a secret ballot poll would show that that's where the American people are, but it sure looks like that on social media. And all I can say is for a long time, it was the same absolute same thing with immigration. I mean, everybody on Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, all of those policies, pedal to the metal for open borders. I would frequently get banned even from Salem Radio. I don't know if you're on Salem Radio. They published my book, Adios America, and they wouldn't let me speak at their conferences because it was anti-immigration. Every radio host at Salem, every single one was open borders. Especially, you may not have even heard of some of these, I don't know if they're around anymore, Michael Medved, even Prager was, Shapiro, and I love him. I love a lot of these guys. You were a lonely voice in the woods to say what everyone is saying now. And frankly, I think it's the same thing with permanent war.
Are we at least winning? I know we have a long way to go. Are we at least winning in changing the GOP on the immigration front? Because it seems like we are. When you have turds like John Cornyn getting primaried, when you have these, it seems like we're gaining some ground, right?
Yes. Well, absolutely, compared to what it was like before Trump came along. But immigration is an issue that needs absolutely constant vigilance. You cannot be paranoid enough about Republicans selling us out on immigration. I mean, we've just seen it. All the, what was it, 47 Republicans I saw yesterday were sponsoring a bill to make sure farmers get all their cheap labor. They are American farmers are turning out to be the least patriotic Americans. They simply refuse to mechanize, refuse to use robots, refuse to pay Americans, you know, $10 more. No, it's worth paying more for blueberries. We'll have less of this disgusting, what's it called, explosive diarrhea disease if we get our produce from America.
It is odd that we haven't found the source yet of the explosive diarrhea. We're told it's Taco Bell. I suspect there are going to be some interesting revelations there. Anyway, Anne, I am out of time, sadly. I wish I could talk to you all day. You'd be good. I appreciate you. Let's talk about China next. Do you have high interest debt? It weighs you down, doesn't it? It feels like you're drowning. I'm talking that 20, 30% interest rate. Don't feel bad. You're not alone. This is a very common thing in this country now. And people, when they get in this situation, maybe this is you, they think they're always going to be there. That it's impossible to get out. You're too deep in. That is not true. If you have a mortgage, American Financing is here. What they will do for you is carve for you a path out so that one day you don't have this high interest debt anymore. One day you are completely free of it. Does that sound good? Go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse and find out what they can do for you. At least have a conversation with them. AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I stopped by a cop who thought I was like making fun of Mao Zedong, which I never would and never will. Mao Zedong is one of the great leaders of this world. Okay. A man who changed the entire universe, the entire planet. Okay. For real, for real. Yes. I mean, there was a lot of excesses, let's be real, but the People's Republic of China would not exist without Mao Zedong.
Joining me now to discuss that and so many other things, Joshua Phillip, host of the Josh Phillip Show in Crossroads. Okay, Josh, these communists, they're so okay with violence. I mean, you could sit and tell that guy until you're blue in the face and Mao killed 65 million Chinese. By the way, we don't even know the number. I mean, it might be 100 million. God only knows. But it wouldn't sway him. People think they're educating him. It doesn't sway him. He doesn't look at that as a bug, does he?
He doesn't, and I don't think many of them do. If you go by the Black Book of Communism from Harvard, it says Mao Zedong killed between 50 million and 70 million people. Updated numbers, because that's older, say he probably killed upwards of 100 million people. Mao Zedong was one of the greatest tyrants, one of the most murderous, you know, dictators the world has ever known. And I think praising him should be seen as no different than praising Adolf Hitler or praising any other kind of like genocidal dictator, because that's exactly what it is. And I think with these people, what it is really they think that they're going to do it right. Or maybe they even don't. Maybe they think that people deserve it sometimes. I would actually say that a lot of people like Hassan and others, if you really listen to what they talk about, they justify violence. You know, what they justify, for example, the killing of people they deem as like class enemies. So they talk about it in a real offhanded way, like, oh, well, maybe they deserved it sometimes. And there have been direct quotes like that from him and others like him. So I wonder sometimes if they know about it, but don't care.
Josh, these people who speak about all this death and destruction, I'm sad to say it's not just, you know, some far left loony podcaster. I have been in these scenes where I'm surrounded by Democrats who don't know I'm me, and this is how they talk about things. This is how the normal Democrat speaks when they're with other Democrats. I hope he dies. I hope someone shoots him. It's too bad they missed. This is not just, you know, Hassan Piker. Your liberal Aunt Peggy speaks like this when she's around her friends.
And I find this very concerning. There is a type of, I think, assassination culture that is becoming normalized. You know, as you mentioned, we saw with Donald Trump when there were the attempted assassinations against him, how many people were celebrating it? How many people were saying, oh, too bad he missed? You had, you know, major comedians going and doing whole skits about it, joking about it. People on stage, for example, you know, Jack Black was under flak for this, for his, you know, his co-host making comments like that, for example. We saw with Charlie Kirk, people celebrating it, people saying good, you know, he deserved it and everything else. And I do think we're at a point where there are people in this country, and I don't know if it's a majority, but there's enough, who seem to have no problem with political violence. And as they push alongside that for ideologies like communism and, you know, socialism is just communism in practice through politics. You know, technically communism exists the negation of systems. When you practice communism in government, it is socialism. The fact that they're promoting a system of government that has killed, you know, upwards, just go by Black Book of Communism, upwards of about 100 million people, and they're talking about justifying violence, I think that's a very concerning trend.
Josh, China is very focused in their attacks on us. Now, they're not dropping nuclear weapons, but they are very clearly, they have so many different fingers in the American pie trying to bring us down that it's difficult to digest the breadth of all of it.
Yeah. So part of my work as an investigative journalist has been investigating what's called the United Front Work Department. In fact, I was one of the first journalists to expose this going back to 2008. This is tied into what we know as the secret Chinese police stations. That's actually a very small part of the whole picture. Jamestown Foundation recent report found there's about 1,000 United Front organizations just in the United States. Some of these organizations have thousands of members. Some claim to have tens of thousands of members. And here's what they do. They work to effectively infiltrate government, business, investment, and influence. So they buy off Hollywood. They control what Hollywood films can or can't say, which we see happening right now. They influence investors. Everyone knows, I think, on the Chinese side of the pond, the Chinese economy is basically a Ponzi scheme. You're not allowed to question the GDP numbers. The CCP blocks its companies from being audited, as are other companies required on the stock market. But theirs are not. When they are audited, it's shown that they're pyramid schemes. They're Ponzi schemes. And everybody just plays the game because there's money to be made. They buy off investors. They buy off politicians. You know, we saw the mayor of Arcadia get tied in with this recently. And what it is this. This is the method. And briefly on the journalist side, we found with Trump's recent document releases that journalists in America were getting paid to run articles against the president or to make comments against the president because the CCP wanted to change the, you know, ideological discussion to rig our elections. That's concerning, right? What's really going on is this. The CCP has devised a plan to take over America without needing to invade us. And the theory is a country is controlled by what they call the civil society. It's a very Machiavellian, you know, like the prince, right, type technique, where you don't need to conquer a country to control a country. If you control their politics, if you control the business, if you control the investment, if you control the culture and ideology, the messaging, you control the country. And so the goal of the United Front is to target all people of influence, as many as they possibly can, influence them, alter the discussions, change political policy, change investment and business policy and everything else, and through that, gain control over the country.
Josh, what are we doing about that, or what should we be doing about that? You can't just let the Chinese run a massive, scaled-up intelligence operation designed to destroy your country. I mean, that should be a full court press, right?
It should be. You know, we did see one case recently in New York. The head of one of these secret Chinese police stations was found guilty. We're still waiting for information on sentencing. In California, I mentioned the mayor of Arcadia. She's, you know, she pled guilty to working as an agent of the CCP. We know from Trump's recently released documents that that journalists were getting paid off, that others were getting paid off by the CCP, that businesses were lobbying on behalf of the Chinese government, you know, things like that. We know it's happening now. We don't see the action happening on a large enough scale, though. If I were to make a suggestion, I think the United States should designate any United Front tied organization as a foreign agent or as something, you know, waging an unconventional war against the United States, which in the actual internal writings of the CCP is what they call it. Xi Jinping himself has called the United Front a quote unquote magic weapon of the Chinese Communist Party. And the calling it of a quote magic weapon goes back to Mao Zedong, who also called it a magic weapon against the United States. They regard this as a weapon to co-opt and influence and bribe and blackmail all civil leaders of our society, and through that control our country.
Josh, it's hard not to notice how right-wing Latin America appears to be slanting since the defunding of USAID and other things. We even hear about Venezuela, how they rigged elections. We, of course, saw Nicaragua's big cheese said there aren't going to be elections. Wild how all this stuff works.
It is. And I have some direct experience with that. A couple of years back, I was down in Panama. I was investigating the border crisis. You know, I went to the Darien Gap. I did manage it. I gained access to some of the migrant camps. Many of them were being run out of the Embera Indian villages. In fact, this right here comes from one of the chiefs of one of the Embera Indian villages. Basically, I was investigating how the United Nations was working with various NGOs to run the whole border crisis. And what I exposed was the government program that we're actually part of that operates the whole thing, which is, of course, the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration. American taxpayer dollars funding the UN for a program which is running it through proxies, through NGOs and nonprofits. And it's basically just a giant bus system all throughout Latin America. They pay them the whole nine yards. But when I was in Latin America, I spoke to the head of CENTAFRONT, which is like their military slash police. And he told me that their government was effectively being, you know, threatened by NGOs and he believed by the United Nations. And what it is these nonprofit organizations, these non-governmental organizations in some countries, like in America, we don't think it's a big deal, but you go to Latin America and Africa and elsewhere, some of these organizations are more powerful than the governments. And what I was told while I was there is they were even running political candidates to try to undermine the incumbent government. The Panamanian government leaders I spoke to personally said that they believe the sovereignty of their own country was being undermined by these organizations getting funded through all these networks. And so, you know, when I hear about maybe the defunding of USAID had a part in this, it wouldn't surprise me because some of the organizations that we know money was going to do, in fact, carry out operations that undermine national sovereignty throughout Latin America.
You say was going to. The Trump administration has taken steps to cut this money off, right?
They have. It actually goes even beyond just USAID. The Trump administration is going after even money, you know, through other aid programs. And they've even gone directly after some of these NGOs. The argument from the Trump side is this. They're saying that these organizations, you know, we pay them to do like food aid or whatever else, or medical assistance in these countries. These organizations take that money, use it to cover their overhead, do the minimal, just minimal amount of what we actually pay them to do, and then dedicate most of their work to doing things on like globalist interests or interests against the United States or interests, you know, in favor of the UN or whatever other country. But they're not doing what we paid them to do, or at least on a very small scale. And so, you know, the US side now is saying, okay, we're going to run it through the State Department now. If we help another country, we're not going to go through proxies. We're going to do it directly. They're going to know it's America helping them, not, you know, whatever NGO of the day is. And we're going to make sure the work is actually being done. And we're not funding organizations acting against American interests, which is what a lot of them were doing.
Josh, awesome as always, man. I appreciate you. Come back. We have Light in the Mood. Next. We're never going to stop talking about this. This is something we've been talking about for a long time. We have to understand what is this evil force that we are up against as anti-communists in order to save the country, save Western civilization? It's going to involve defeating communism. There is no way those two things can coexist. And so we are going to keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it until one day our kids will see victory. See you tomorrow.
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.